You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside sports, fantasy football, we'll be covering the NFL draft, the winners and losers. Right after the draft, right when the fall it happens, we'll be doing it on Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Joe Soro. Not sure if he's going to be able to do a nightcap tonight. I know he's not too happy, but you can find out what he thinks at LakersBall.com is Ox9247, and of course, support his company, Simblades, SimbladesWithAY.com. You know, Laker Tom is probably throwing his glasses and his Coke somewhere around, and Jamie's marijuana is probably not smelling so good right now on 420 because the Lakers lost, but you can find out what they have to say on the Lakers and Nuggets at LakerHolics.com. Plus, also as well, John Costa, I believe he is not going to be making it as well, but you can find him always at Lakers Corner Clutch Talk. Also as well, go ahead and check out Stone Hansen. Stone Hansen is the great guy. Please go ahead and support him today at report_court because he is reviewing the prospects, the top prospects for the NBA draft right there for you. So if you want to get a better idea of the NBA draft, go to @report_court on Twitter. Also, our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Please go ahead and support all these great entities. And while you can, support us as well, because by God, we need all the support we can get right now. Because if you heard me on playback, you will understand how pissed off I am right now. So please support us by following us on Facebook or wherever social media is. And of course, hitting that like and subscribe right here at the Lakers Fast Break. For the Lakers, Zangerstein, I got nothing but love for you. And I'm going to get my rant done right now. The guys in playback wanted a rant. And if Joe's not here, you will get a rant from me. Don't ever tell me that it's a good idea to put AD out at the three-point line. Don't ever tell me it's a good idea to have AD shooting threes. Don't ever tell me that. He needs to be inside or pick and rolls to get him easier looks at the basket. Don't ever tell me it's a good idea. Ham in that second half absolutely blew it with a lot of things, rotations, not calling timeouts, absolutely let the game get away from him. But again, the Lakers did as well. After taking an early 12-point lead in the second quarter, the Lakers, unfortunately, let Denver go on a run. They stopped. They got away from what was working from them as far as trapping defense. They were hustling on defense. They were creating good shots for themselves and good looks. About 5 minutes left in the second quarter, the Lakers stopped following those same habits they'd been doing for the first quarter and a half. The Nuggets went on a run to tie the game. The Lakers did pull out a three-point lead at the half, courtesy of a LeBron three-pointer. But in the second half, it all went to crap. And that's the only way to say it, as the Lakers stopped executing on offense and they looked gassed out on defense and just could not recover. Ham did not slow down momentums with timeouts. Absolutely poor choices on rotations. And the Lakers, mistake after mistake after mistake. LeBron didn't even get a chance. Now, I know LeBron's going to be roasted for not being more assertive in the fourth quarter, but there are times where he was asking for the ball in the corner and not getting it because other shots were being taken as that were ill-advised. And the Lakers, poor execution. Let me go ahead and run down the bad news for you guys when it comes right down to it. Only 11 points from your bench, and that all came from Torian Prince. Austin Reeves, 13 points. D'Angelo Russell, 6 of 20, 1 of 9. Reeves and Russell, 3 of 15 from behind the arc. Rui Hachimura only gave you 7 points. And despite a heroic effort from Anthony Davis, 32 points and 14 rebounds, 27 points from LeBron James, the Lakers just didn't have enough, ran out of gas, and they lose 114 to 103. And here today to discuss is a good man indeed. He returns to us. He's the madman from Toronto. He did get out of Toronto traffic to watch the second half disaster. It is the magic man, Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here on the day where I think that it is on honor of 420. I think the Lakers in the second half smoked a lot of joints because they looked and they did not look good at all in that second half.
Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction, Podfather. And I had my Apple speaker outside enjoying some hot chocolate, and my neighbor Eric walked over and said, "Hey, Sean, who's that guy that's yelling all the time?" I said, "That's our illustrious Podfather, Eric. He's normally not like this, but when the Lakers play this badly, he can't."
I had to step in for Joe. I know I'm a poor substitution for Joe, and I know I'll get ripped for that in the comments, but, you know, "We want Joe. We want Joe." Well, you know, you didn't get your Joe, but I was there. And big shout out to Laker Nick. He was there with me to suffer. And everybody out there, Doobie, Allen, Kubro, Aussie, you know, every rough artist, everybody that was there. And also on YouTube as well, Raphael, Jarvis, everybody that was out there, thank you for suffering through the pain with me in that second half.
Gerald, hard to add anything to what you said because you summarized the collapse very profoundly. It was a combination of a couple of things. Like you said, Ham's unflinching unwillingness to change habits here, poor rotations, as you mentioned, Gerald, poor awareness and recognition about the ebbs and flow of the game. I have to give him a little bit of slack here. He can't make wide open shots, but as Gerald pointed out, D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves sure as hell couldn't tonight either. I think that's what it comes down to, Gerald. Like you said, the Lakers got away from what they were doing defensively, and they just had no oil at the end of that game defensively. Very flat-footed, half-stepping it. You know, that one sequence where we missed a wide-open shot, the Nuggets come down, Aaron Gordon misses a three. They get the offensive board. Peyton Watson passes it out to KCP. KCP misses the shot, Gerald. But again, nobody is rebounding the ball. It takes five guys in the fourth quarter in a hostile environment to rebound. And Jokic got that third opportunity, and he made us pay. And it's very, very difficult, Gerald. And I'm frustrated as everybody else because 60 to 57 going in halftime, you're feeling okay because that second half of that second quarter got away from me a little bit, but you still have a lead in a hostile environment. But as Gerald mentioned, they got away from the trapping. They allowed Denver to just go on 9-0 runs, 11-0 runs. It was almost
13-0
runs. Yes. It was almost as if what Gerald said might happen happened in that the Lakers didn't learn any lessons from last year's Western Conference Finals about having to make a bucket, when even if Denver's on a run, because at least then you can stem some of that momentum, but it just wasn't to be, Gerald.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers lose game one of the NBA first round. It is 114-103. The Lakers now will play their second game in Denver on Tuesday, and we'll be here to cover it all right here at the Lakers fast break. Please make sure, big crowd out tonight, despite the loss. Please like and subscribe. Please follow us on Facebook and like and subscribe on YouTube to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers fast break. I was just very upset, Sean, because it was pointed out to us on several occasions in that first half, in that first quarter and a half, what was working. Trapping defenses, making life difficult for Murray. Even though you weren't getting good execution from D'Lo, he was still giving you effort on defense. Austin Reeves was playing pretty good defense on Murray at times, but he was getting help. And then on Jokic, they were finding a way to make him, you know, obviously he was still trying to do the best he can to go ahead and get the Lakers fits, but still he wasn't doing as well. But the old habits die hard. They got away from it, started playing man-to-man again. They went on that run when they did, as far as Denver made that run. The Lakers started giving up too many offensive rebounds, which they've been doing all season long. Bad habits reared their ugly head again, Magic Man, and they didn't correct it this time around.
Not at all, Gerald. Well stated. 14-6 is the final tally. However, and it's a big however, with a minute and a half to go, the Lakers only had four offensive boards, and three of those were from Anthony Davis. LeBron got two meaningless offensive boards and still couldn't finish at the bucket, Gerald. So, like we've been saying all year, it's been a slog giving up those offensive boards, and you can't give a team at home, a defending champion, multiple opportunities like that. I mean, 14 offensive rebounds given up is a lot in any environment, but especially on the road, that cannot happen again. Somebody's got to hit the Windex really hard next game, and it takes all five guys. We know this. It takes all five guys, especially in the fourth quarter, to rebound the basketball. And somebody's got to take the initiative, especially with AD and LeBron in the fourth quarter. I mean, like Gerald was pointing out, LeBron had more turnovers and shot attempts in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, can you, as Gerald stated, he was in the corner asking for the ball multiple times, but D'Angelo Russell would fire up an errant shot, or Austin Reeves would make a bad pass in the post when Aaron Gordon is circling the box or KCP is wandering around. It was just a lack of awareness in that fourth quarter, Gerald, and that can't happen.
We talked about a little bit about how important the minutes when Jokic was off the floor would be, and the Lakers just didn't take advantage of it. In fact, the bench, it was kind of weird rotations because LeBron was always the first one out between him and AD under normal circumstances. Today, that was not the case. Today, you played LeBron throughout the first and third quarters. You took out AD with about a minute and a half, even though that was the only rest AD got. I just didn't like the way that Ham used those rotations. I thought they got burnt. And then the bench not showing up outside of Torian Prince. I put it in the comments. The Denver bench outscored the Lakers bench, or excuse me, Torian Prince, 17-11, which is, again, it's only 6 points, but in a game so close like this, when it comes down to the final couple of minutes, you need every point you can get.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And we've emphasized that it's imperative that the Lakers need to win the minutes when Jokic is off the floor.
But none of them took a shot, Magic Man.
No, Gerald. It just seemed that I don't know what it was, whether it was the yellow badge of courage, whether it was the the altitude making them a little weak in the knees. but the bench needs to step up outside of Taurean Prince.
Please. Alan, I can blame them if they sat out there for 13 minutes and found no way to get themselves a shot or tell somebody that they didn't get a shot. I can blame them.
Yes, especially
21 minutes combined between Gabe and Dinwiddie, and neither of them wanted to take a shot. Is that maybe they were trepidatious? They were scared? This isn't the time to be scared, Magic Man. You got to help out your team in any way possible.
Absolutely. Gerald, it looked a little as if Gabe Vincent was either in another multiverse where he was shooting bombs away in another universe, or he was just, as Gerald said, trepidatious, very tentative, very hesitant.
They all did. And D-Lo looked terrible, especially, you know, when you go 6 of 20, that's not going to get it done. He had some chippies at the rim that you've got to execute. In fact, the Lakers had several chippies at the rim. This is another issue that we've been dealing with, where they have chippies at the rim that they need to execute and finish. In a game like this, that could also be the difference between a won and a loss right there. It's just, you got to execute and finish off those plays.
100%. 100%, Gerald. And when I really hope they take a couple hours, grab a nice bite to eat, watch that film, and hopefully they're as just disgusted as we were, because I think they will be rewatching that. I mean, not only did you have 9 minutes with Jokic on the bench, Gerald, you also didn't take advantage of the fact that they were missing Aaron Gordon and Jokic at times on the floor, because Aaron Gordon got in foul trouble. And you, again, for some reason, I don't understand Darvin Ham not trying to go for the throat there with both Gordon and Jokic out. Those are two big bodies that you could take advantage of not being out there, especially considering the fact that Jamal Murray didn't have a great shooting night. I mean,
nine of 24.
It was there for you. It was there for you. And I think they should all be kicking themselves in the ass. If not now, then when they watch the film, because as Gerald said, you left a lot of points off the board at the rim, and you cost yourself in the fourth quarter by not crashing the boards.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Check out what's going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. This Friday at the Coliseum in the Cage, it's Brutally Handsome versus the Masked Marauders.
Well, let me just tell you something right now. Friday night at the Coliseum, you can't run. You can't hide. When the weapons of mass destruction, the Masked Marauders, when we're done with you, you're not going to be handsome anymore. Tell them, number two.
Oh, me?
Yeah, tell them.
Oh, okay, here I go. I heard you guys called us ignoramus. I don't know what that means, but I don't think I like that. I don't think he likes that. I don't think we like that. So we're going to take out our ignoramus on you. That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. Available on radio stations worldwide and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Magic Man along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching. Listen, the Lakers fall down 1-0 as they lose 114-103 over the Nuggets. The Nuggets taking an early 1-0 lead in the series. But then again, it is going to be harder to win game two because the momentum is clearly on the Denver Nuggets side. They now have beaten the Lakers 10 straight times, I believe, in a row. They have all the, you know, who's your daddy and all that type of crap that I'm probably sure they're probably talking right now. Malone is probably talking them up right now as we speak. But again, if you go back home tied 1-1, we got to look on the bright side here, everyone. If they do go back home 1-1 on Tuesday, then I guess that's what you need to do. That's all the Lakers should be asking for at this point in time, but they can get back to the crypt tied 1-1.
Absolutely, Gerald. And it's gonna have to start with D'Lo and Austin Reeves having better game. They have to play well and if we are going to win in Denver. So now it's a 6-game series. Lakers have to win 4 out of 6. Three of those games are still going to be in the Mile High City. D'Lo and Austin Reeves have to play well in at least 2 out of these 3 games, and it's imperative that they start in game 2. Combined 3 of 15 from beyond the arc. Look, Austin Reeves has shown it throughout the year, Gerald. If you leave him open, he will make his shots. He will. For some reason tonight, he wasn't making them, and neither was D'Angelo Russell. That's a little bit of a surprise that both of them were in the gutter on wide open threes. But in a game where it's starting to slip, you need to make those wide open shots because Denver is a big team and they can thwart you at the rim if they decide to buckle up and white knuckle it. And in the fourth quarter, they decide that's what they were going to do. So you have to hit your wide open shots.
Alan's been talking about this again. You know, to an extent, you're right, Alan. We've talked about this all year, how the Lakers, they just get away from playing, like you said, Alan, in the chat, an organized offense. You've heard me, Alan. You are one of the most devoted, and I'm going to give you props for being one of the best fans that are out there for the Lakers Fast Break. You were there on playback. When you hear me and you and I go back and forth talking about how they just forget that there's such a thing called ball and man movement and that they just play a lot of iso ball. They just fall in love with the iso ball and think that's going to be okay. And again, it sometimes it works, and that's part of the problem, Magic Man. When it works, it lulls you into that thinking that, oh man, we're going to get it done each and every time though. But with LeBron not getting the ball in that fourth quarter as much, D'Lo trying to take over and just not hitting shots, AD taking way too many three-point attempts, just bad execution on offense. It's already bad that they're already losing it on defense, and they're giving up what they have as far as on the defensive end ever since halfway through that second quarter. But, man, when you're not executing on offense, you're not passing and sharing the ball, and I will give Alan all the respect in the world for stating that. That's a problem, Magic Man. You see how they share the ball. 10 assists for Murray. Of course, you know what Jokic does to share the ball. It makes much more sense to go ahead and may have that type of movement if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. It makes for so much easier of a ball game for you if that's the case.
Yes. Well put. And Gerald, it's like it's quick ISO basketball. In 2024 is playing in quicksand. It has and unfortunately has a double edge effect because the way the game is played today is very different than what it was even 10 years ago. If you want to play ISO ball in spurts, that can work. However, when it's consecutive possession after possession after possession, that's very tiring. ISO basketball is very tiring on the isolation player, whether it's LeBron, whether it's AD, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Kobe. And secondary, the secondary effect of that is that it creates lackadaisical and, frankly, laziness and lassitude for the four other players, because they ended up standing around Gerald. And when it's time to move and time to create, it's almost as if they're paralyzed by the previous positions of iso ball, and they just get flummoxed, or they get confused, or I don't know how else to explain it other than the fact that it's just, it's a negative on a negative.
I will say, though, that Darvin Ham is talking after the game, Magic Man. So I love to always point out when he gets the comments that he does after the game. They're always interesting. So I'll start off with a championship team isn't going to beat itself. You can't beat yourself. We got to step up. He said that he wasn't going to bench D'Lo because of one poor shooting performance. He noted that Russell helped LA get to this point and shot well recently against New Orleans. I will give him that, because you never know when Russell's going to go on a heater. And he has, for the most part, Sean, done a good job of finding his range. And, you know, there's a lot of incentive on the line for him in order to execute in this series. So I can understand why you kept him in the game, no matter how bad he was shooting. But get this, all right. Darvin Ham says that the Lakers have a couple more adjustments they're going to throw at Nikola Jokic. He added that the Lakers didn't want to use all their adjustments in game one. You were in the game. Why don't you throw everything in the kitchen sink while you have a victory on the road in Denver? Do you not?
Yes. You throw everything you can at the wall, at the kitchen sink, whatever analogy you want to use, or euphemistic language idiom. Yes, do it. It is a best of seven. It is a 4 out of 7 series. You don't have a game to say, oh, well, you know, I have something in my back pocket, but you know what, Gerald? I'm going to save it for game two. Well, you don't know. You can't predict the future any more than Darvin Ham can or I can. And Gerald's right. That is just foolishness coming out of somebody's mouth. And Gerald, allow me just to ask you and the esteemed subscribers a question. Do you think it is prudent to have one of the more efficient offensive players in league, and Rui Hachimura has proven himself to be very efficient, guarding Nikola Jokic when it's not working? Because it seemed to me, Gerald, and it seems like it reared its ugly head again, that Rui is gassed in the fourth quarter having to chase Jokic or get bodied up by him for 35 plus minutes, whereas if you had AD on him, which would to me, Gerald, be the more apropos, but the AD strategy.
AD played 46 minutes tonight, or yes. 44. Yeah, I mean, that's not a whole lot better, man. You've got to put, you know, even if you got 5 fouls from Hayes, get 5 fouls, Hayes, because LeBron guarding Jokic, you know, LeBron's supposed to be so strong, and he just is like goes limp against Jokic. It's just ridiculous. I know Jokic is strong, but LeBron's supposed to be strong too, but he gives up no resistance when he tries to defend Jokic. Send Hayes out there, 5 fouls, 6 fouls, I don't care. Just at least would buy time, like you said, because Rui, he wasn't out there in the clutch when you needed him, because he was either gassed or you just felt Prince was a better matchup. But obviously we saw that wasn't the case. And I don't know, it just, some of these things that Ham does, like when they go on a run and you're not calling a timeout, that is just ridiculous, my friend. Absolutely ridiculous. And the fact is, he says this stuff after the game where, oh, I have a couple more things I can throw at Jokic. You had a chance. You got a lead going in the second half. Why not throw everything that you can at him and try and steal a game early on in the series? It's absolutely ridiculous. In fact, they cut it back down to 6 to the Nuggets in the fourth quarter. And Yeah, just the fact that just knowing that Ham has got another couple tricks up his sleeves, that's great. It's like having the magician. He's got a couple tricks. He already did a show. The audience has already left the building. Oh, but I got a couple more tricks I want to show people, but there's nobody to show it to. It just, why do you wait to show everything you have? It's just absolutely just frustrating.
Absolutely, Gerald. Yes. Great analogy there. It's almost as if you're going to perform the high wire act when the circus is empty. Like, what's the point? And by the way, I have to say, just on the face of it, I'm encouraged that Darvin Ham has confidence enough to say that, Gerald. But if you're Michael Malone, you have to kind of chuckle a little bit because...
Oh, he's chuckling, all right.
There is almost nothing that Michael Malone and Nicola hasn't seen yet that you could throw at them. So for all this bluster and confidence, you better have something that they haven't seen before or they haven't prepared 100% for, because you sure as hell could have used it today.
Absolutely. Again, I couldn't agree with you more. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. The Lakers lose game one, 114-103 to the Denver Nuggets, falling one game behind. Game two is on Tuesday in Denver. One of the things you've got to be looking at, and I know Rodell, him and I go at it, and usually he's incorrect on a lot of stuff, but the one thing he is correct on is that when you have Jamal Murray shooting 9 of 24, you got to give some credit to someone who is playing with a lot of effort. And, okay, only 13 points from Reeves, but if he's holding Jamal Murray to 9 of 24 and he was the predominant defender on Murray, I think that's, you have to ask for that. That's exactly what you want. At times, he was playing very effective defense on Jamal Murray.
100%. 100%. I thought his one-on-one defense was at worst okay. Yeah. It was okay, actually. And
at times it was really good.
And at times it was really good. He was disrupting passing lanes, very aware, kept his head up. So you can't really fault D'Lo defensively tonight. He really gave it gave Murray a go on that end. So for all the D'Lo disrespect going on right now, not in our comment section, but I'm seeing a little bit of it on X. I'm seeing it on Reddit. I mean, I think, you know, everybody just slow down a little bit, because he actually did his job tonight defensively. Yep, didn't hit his shots, but he was a disruptor defensively on one of the best guards in the NBA tonight.
For a guy who this time last year was looking like toast, mm-hmm. and then he went into FIBA and looked like more toast, and then mm-hmm. he went earlier in the first half of the season and really looked like a matador, and he reshaped his game in the second half of the season to play more spirited defense. And again, I'll give him credit for that one. But I do want to say one thing about Darvin Ham, and I know Darren mentioned it. We mentioned it earlier, was the fact that Joe, in the brief times that he was out on playback, one of the things he mentioned was, you know, because we talked about the trapping defense that he applied in that first quarter and a half before it all went south. We were talking about, I was asking, do you give Darvin Ham some credit for applying that and instituting that and throwing that different kind of look at Denver, because it did get the Lakers, you know, at one time, a 12-point lead. And Joe's response was, well, you guys can't fault Darvin Ham out there because he is, you know, for the past month and a half, he's been getting the job done, essentially paraphrasing what he said, but that's paraphrasing. But tonight, a lot of those bad habits in that second half reared their ugly head. And one of them was letting Denver go on a run. If you heard me on playback, you heard me screaming, call a timeout, call a timeout. And he was not willing to do that. And they gave up four, I think, or six more points, crucial to what the Lakers could have done to stop that flow, stop that momentum. I mean, at the end of the game, I think he still had another, he had two timeouts left, I think, at the end of the game. Like I said earlier, playback to Nick, around 5 minutes left, AD was at the line. Call a timeout then and give him and LeBron an extra 2 minutes, you know, as far as the timeout's concerned. You got to think about that, what those does to those players out there. Utilize your timeouts. You don't need to take them home with you. You got to be able to make sure you're coaching. Rotations, again, a lot of this is, you know, when you put out guys out there and you have them rotate, I understand sometimes some of the things he did I didn't like. Some of the things he's just did, you know, okay, these guys just didn't hit shots. But still, the timeouts are something he can control, and he did a poor job of doing that in that second half.
He did, Gerald. It was a mismanaged second half. Timeouts, rotations. It's hard enough to play well in a hostile environment, but then there's the game within the game, and as Gerald has pointed out time and time again, that's where there seems to be a brick wall that the Lakers car just seems to hit every time in a crucial situation with Darvin Ham at the helm with the conch. Yes, give them a blow or two, especially with the last 3 minutes where you're down by 11 and you need every possession to count as if you're carrying water in the Serengeti where it's 130 degrees. Yes. I will say this, Gerald, there's a lot of enmity towards LeBron and AD basically going in ISO mode to start the game. And it's a salient point that a lot of people are making. I would only counter with this: who is that third player that's supposed to carry the load? Torian Prince tried. He saw that D'Lo was struggling, and Prince tried as he might to take it to the rack and try and keep us above water. But the fact is, there needs to be a balance found somewhere, Gerald, because as you pointed out, they went to ISO ball early, AD and LeBron, and in the fourth quarter, that came and bit him on the ass like a mosquito. Because
it's funny, people are going back and forth on Ham, and I'm like, you know, you got to slow down those runs. You could be like Phil Jackson and let these guys play it out, but as we've seen with this team, this team doesn't work it out very well. Other teams go on runs on the Lakers. It just seems to go and go and go. In this case, it was a 13-0 run that, and not to mention the other run of the first half that tied the game at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Gerald, it's not everybody can be Phil Jackson. I mean, I just feel that coaches like Darvin Ham, Mike D'Antoni, can even go back to, oh my goodness, Chris Ford. When your team can't make a bucket, that's the issue. It's not necessarily that the other team is going on the run. The issue with the run is you can't make an open shot. And usually conventional wisdom would tell you, Gerald, that, you know, within 3 to 5 possessions, if you haven't been able to hit an open shot or get a good look, call timeout, because that would at least stall a run. So instead of 13-0, maybe it's only 7 or 6-0, or instead of a 15-4 run, it's only 10-4. So instead of being down 9 points, you're only down 4, or you're only down 5. Instead of being down 11, 14. And yes, that is the issue. Possessions should be treated as non-renewable resources in the NBA playoffs, because once they're gone, they are gone. You cannot get them back. And the problem with that, with his thinking is, you know, well, there's 3 minutes left and we're down by 12. Yes, And there's also 3 minutes down, 3 minutes left, and you're down by 12, and you're on the road. And the other team understands this as well. And Denver did a decent job of trying to eat as much clock while getting good looks. Jokic is a professional at this, Gerald. He's one of the, and I'll say it again, he's one of the best at what he does in the fourth quarter. 24 seconds left on the shot clock. There's 50 seconds left in the game. Denver's up by four. Nikola is going to find somebody a good look. And if he can't find somebody a good look, we saw it in the Phoenix series last year, Gerald, he'll find a good look for himself. You can't allow this to, like Gerald said, like spread like a wild mushroom, because you won't be able to stem the tide. It's too much.
Got to try anything. Got to try anything you can. I mean, we talked about it just a minute ago. I understand that they're going to run and it's hard to stop Magic Man, but you got to use every trick. You got to use everything you can. Whatever things that you said you still have on your sleeve, you got to use that. You got to stem the tide. This is a team that was up by 12 late in the first quarter, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And in the second quarter before they went on that run. This is a team that, you know, I think can't compete with the Denver Nuggets. But the problem is you get on those runs, they start getting the momentum, and it's just you got to stem the tide somehow. I don't even care if it's two timeouts back to back. You just have to go ahead and stem that tide, because, again, that 13-0 run, what's the score of the game, Magic Man? That 13-0 run is essentially the difference in the ball game.
Yes, absolutely, Gerald. Absolutely. When it was...
you take... Okay, 46 minutes, they're playing even. That 13-0 run, 2 minutes?
That's it. That was the game. That was the game. It was 89-78. And he had a chance to use a timeout there, and he decided not to. And that 11-point lead ballooned to, I believe, 14, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Aaron Gordon hit a three, and then he decided to call a timeout. And Gerald, to be fair, when Denver watches this game in their film session, they're going to say, we didn't play good well, and we still won. Mm-hmm. And that's what should be boggling and should be an amoeba in the brain of every Lakers player, that Denver didn't play well and they still won.
That's the problem. And we'll see what happens for game two and the Lakers can tie it up. I mean, again, Magic Man, if they can go ahead and somehow miraculously get a win and steal a win in Denver, I think that changes, again, still the complexion of the series. But right now, it's in the Lakers' head. It's in the Lakers' head. When you lose 10 times to a team, 10 straight times, it's in your head that you can't beat this team. And LeBron, he got frustrated. He didn't get the ball much in that fourth quarter. I know that's going to be a source of much conversation and talk about how D'Lo did this and D'Lo did that. Well, when D'Lo's doing great, everybody seems to be okay with it. But he had an off game at the very wrong time. And LeBron, you know what? He might have been gassed. He might have been tired. I understand that, because he did play a lot of minutes. But do not complain about not getting the ball. You got to go over there and get the ball, demand it, and do what you need to do with it, if that's the case. Because he was not there for us in the fourth quarter. Now, it could have been to fatigue. And if that's the case, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I agree. You know, it's just that. But we got to find out exactly what went on with LeBron in that fourth quarter, because the offense, as Alan pointed out, that offense in the second half was absolutely atrocious. They have got to move that ball around in order to go ahead and find better shots.
Absolutely. You have to score at least 25 points or more in a quarter in a playoff series against Denver, specifically at home. 18 points isn't going to do it. Outscored 32-18 in that third quarter, and it was a bust after that because you were playing, climbing the ladder ever since, and that's not the way to win a basketball game in Denver, Gerald. Something's got to give here because Denver did not play well, and you got a great game from both AD and LeBron offensively. Sans the fourth quarter for LeBron, fair enough. But that being said, this isn't an 82 regular season anymore, Gerald. This is the playoffs, and you can't waste performances like that in a seven-game series. You only have four games to win a series or to lose a series. You dropped one already. That can't happen again.
I will say this, Mission 24, I was completely losing it earlier. So I already have my stretch where I completely lost it. You were busy. You watched the beginning and I went on my rant early and often on that. But Jay Wanthead says, how do they keep beating us the same way? It's because they're better where they need to be better. And the Lakers, unfortunately, it can't just all be LeBron and AD. These other guys have to step up and execute. And Austin, I'll give him a pass, 13 points already. Yeah, but he did play solid defense. So he got what he needed done. But D'Lo going 6-for-20 and Rui somehow being phased out of the offense, whether it was him or whether it was Ham, you got to get him more shots. You got to get him more looks. And 7 points is not going to get it. You need to get all those guys in around 17 to 25 points to help and support LeBron and AD to get that done, because you see what we have. We don't have much coming off the bench. It's terrible. And I mentioned this on playback, how interesting it is to see Triple J, a guy who we could have drafted, who could have given us minutes, despite what Rodell thinks, that he could have given us minutes, solid minutes, but unfortunately they chose JHS. JHS is home with back surgery. Meanwhile, coming off a failed season. Meanwhile, you've got nothing outside of Torian Prince for you. But again, I will digress on that. But I will say that the Lakers, other three, let's say Rui has to be more involved in the offense on Tuesday, and D'Lo has to be more efficient. Absolutely.
Yes, Gerald, we need at least three out of those four guards to play either well or exceptional. Because he didn't get a great game shooting wise out of D'Lo, but defensively he was very good. Austin Reeves is like a box of chocolates in the playoffs. You just never know what you're gonna get, and unfortunately that's Austin's MO until he becomes a very consistent player in the playoffs.
I mean, 5-9 isn't the bad part. 13 points, it is a little underwhelming offense, but he gave you what he needed to give you in defending or being the primary defender on Murray. I mean, 9-24, I can't really fault him too hard.
No.
When he prevents Murray from going off for a big game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And tonight the credit for that goes to D'Lo, not Gabe Vincent. So for those of you who didn't watch the game, you may think, oh well, Jamal Murray was stymied. That must have been the defensive prowess of one Gabriel Vincent. No, it was D'Angelo Russell who gave Murray all he could handle tonight. But you need something out of Spencer Dinwiddie as well, Gerald, because he gave us exactly diddly squat tonight. He's given us diddly squat the last game, and the game previously against the Pelicans, it was a little iffy too. So I'm not sure where Spencer Dinwiddie's head is at, but you need something, anything out of him. Because look, one of the perils in this situation, Gerald, is that even when LeBron and AD have a great game, you still need the others to contribute some way, somehow, because we know that Denver's bench production has not been good this year. I believe the Lakers.
Oh, you and I had an argument about this at the beginning of the season that
I thought they would actually have a better, at least a consistent, productive bench.
And then I heard you last week, and I just
Gerald retorted, "No, Sean, no, their bench isn't going to be good."
And yes,
Gerald,
and I chuckled when you said those words about how inconsistent. That I'll be nice to say what you said, inconsistent on that.
You were right, Podfather. I was wrong.
I will say though that two key stats stick out when you look at it. The Lakers turnover wise. Oh, you're thinking, okay, well, the Lakers only turned the ball over 12 times. Well, the Nuggets only committed 4 turnovers.
So that's, I believe LeBron had more turnovers than the entire Nuggets team, Gerald.
That's correct. He had 7 turnovers, obviously fatigue, poor decision-making. And also as well, the offensive rebound, something I talked about in the pregame. You got beat on offensive rebounds, 15-6. These are stats you cannot be losing and expect to win the game, Magic Man.
No, Gerald. No. Even in a playoff game, 12 turnovers should try get you over the hump. But when your opponent at home has only surrendered 4, you're just giving the ball up too much. So that's -8 on turnovers, -8 on offensive boards. You're giving Denver way too many opportunities at home to slit your throat. And that cannot happen in game 2. I think it's interesting. Somebody had said, why does it seem that, you know, Denver has our number right now? Well, they just find a way to win, and we find new ways to lose against them. That's the simplistic way to look at this, is that they are able to execute what they want to execute down the stretch, and we cannot, for a myriad of reasons, and Gerald has gone over most of them. Mismanagement as far as timeouts, as far as rotations. To be fair, Darvin Ham doesn't wear a uniform, so he can't make or miss wide open shots.
Good point.
That's another reason, and Gerald just added the fact that offensive rebounding has been porous, to say the least, this year, and when you're playing the defending champions at home, you cannot give up almost a +10
margin. You can't give second looks. You cannot give them second looks.
No, because they'll destroy you. And on top of that, as Gerald had mentioned, the turnover differential -8. So you're just giving Denver more opportunities at the well to get fresh water, and you're dehydrated because you're having turnover issues. As Gerald said, you have conditioning and stamina issues at the end of the fourth quarter because LeBron is gassed, AD is gassed, Rui is gassed, and you have to rely on, you know, and to be fair, he played his butt off tonight, Torian Prince, although I wouldn't rely
on him so late in the game.
In the clutch, yeah. No, not at all. You need your best offensive players on the floor at the end of the game against the Denver Nuggets. So that includes LeBron, AD, and Rui. Those three guys need to be out there. Rui is one of the more efficient offensive players in the league, given his minutes, given his production, given his three-point shooting. Rui is very efficient. But the fact was, is that, as Gerald pointed out, through bad rotations, I would say, arrogance to think that Rui can check Nikola Jokic when Rui is barely 6'8" and Nikola is 7 feet tall. He's banging on him for three quarters. Of course, Rui's going to be tired at the end of the fourth quarter. Anybody else would have as well. And it's not as if Rui is not in the best shape or condition of an NBA basketball player. He looks like he was carved to play basketball. That being said, asking him to check a Hall of Fame center is not the answer.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching. Listen, the Lakers lose 114-103. The Lakers are now down 1-0 in the series. Game two is on Tuesday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? It is on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, Tuesday. We'll go ahead and make sure we're here for you at the Lakers Fast Break. And we'll have also coverage and analysis and thoughts. And I know Joe, if he can't be on tonight for his nightcap, we'll probably be on tomorrow or Monday to go ahead and yell and scream and do all the Joe stuff that he does here in the next couple of days before game two. So don't worry, you'll get your Joe fix at some point in time very soon. But Anthony Davis after the game says we can't be bad at both defensive rebounding and transition defense. Well, yeah, that's, I don't want to say that's easy to call, but that's pretty easy to call right there. But you also cannot have AD shooting 4 3-pointers. I know Z probably got ticked off at me when I checked her off earlier this, you know, in the beginning, because I didn't hear from her since, because I got mad. I said, you cannot have AD shoot 3-pointers. It's really bad offense to have AD shoot 3-pointers. Those are 4 looks away from the basket he needs closer to the basket that he should be getting. I don't care. I've heard this logic throughout the year. It started with Z in the summer. It started with Darvin Ham saying he wanted AD to take more 3-point shots. That's absolutely moronic for a guy that shot 18% this last year and 28% this year. Absolutely moronic to have that guy chucking up threes when he's so much more effective inside, which leads me to this question. You know, this Rui on Jokic, you know, for the predominant amount of minutes, it was cute for a while. It worked for a little while, but that was last year. This year, I think it really has started to put Rui, even with the conditioning with LeBron and all that, I really think it affected him, as we saw, offensively as well. I really think you should just take your chances with Jokic on AD, play it straight up. AD can score on Jokic. If he takes him down low, we've seen it. We saw it tonight. He scored 30 points when he wasn't trying to chuck up. Well, he scored 32. When he wasn't trying to chuck up threes, he scored 32 points. He can match what Jokic is doing down low. I would really strongly consider just playing them straight up and just leaving, you know, if it's leaving them out on an island, I'm sorry. Maybe that will play better as far as for the rest of the defense for the guys out there.
Absolutely, Gerald. When you put AD on Nikola, it's almost as if he's Vucevic. He can score offensively, but he gives up 32 points defensively as well.
We don't have a backup center, guys. We don't have a 7-footer with beef that can actually go inside. We don't have it. Jackson Hayes can go out there, give you 5 fouls in 5 minutes if that's what you want, at least to give AD a blow. But you just don't have it, Magic Man. If that's the case, why not put AD for the same amount of minutes Jokic is out there and take your chances?
Gerald, Michael Malone did that tonight. He took a chance with DeAndre Jordan checking Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that tonight. Didn't work out so well.
It didn't work out so well, but you live with the results because that's what you have. You have chicken. You try and make chicken salad out of it. But I agree, Gerald. I agree. play AD straight up with Jokic.
He can score on Jokic.
He can score on him. Yes. The Joker isn't known for his defense. That's just plain and simple. He's not known for his defense. And when you have an all NBA player like Anthony Davis or like a Kevin Durant, they can score on Jokic if you put them one on one. They can find opportunities. They read scouting reports. They understand his weaknesses. They can exploit them. But when you have Rui checking Jokic, it's counterintuitive, Gerald. It really is. You're right, because not only does it put Rui in a disadvantageous position defensively, but it tires him out offensively, where he's not as effective or efficient because he won't run the floor, and instead he'll run to the corner.
And he had to play Jokic straight up anyways in the fourth quarter, and it turned out to be a stalemate. I'd say a stalemate at best in the fourth quarter, because AD, when he was down low, was scoring on him. Jokic, the other way around, was scoring on AD. It was tit for tat. I'm going to say it was pretty much a stalemate when they were down low. I would just take my chances. If they both scored 35 on each other, there you go, and take your chances with the other four in the starting lineup versus my starting four, and see where we can go from there.
And Gerald, just for everybody out there, game two is Monday at 10 p.m.
Monday. Okay, it's Monday. Okay.
Which makes game two pretty much a must win, because game three takes place in Thursday in Los Angeles, Gerald. And those couple extra days of rest would be fantastic going back to L.A. if you were tied at one, especially with LeBron. Hopefully that injury tweak at the end of the game won't hamper him for game two. But if you could squeeze out a win any which way, you have a couple extra days off, and that game three becomes very, very interesting all of a sudden.
It will be, and we'll go ahead and make sure we follow it. Again, the game is on Monday. I want to make sure I make the correction on that. Monday, make sure you're checking it out with us at 7 p.m. Pacific, right there on playback.tv. South Acres Fast Break, as far as the live conversation and scoreboard. So follow along with us here at the Lakers Fast Break. Once again, big shout out to Laker Nick, who had to listen to me do my best Joe impersonation for four quarters. And, like you said, I was bothering your neighbors. I was getting so mad, but I know everybody out there was frustrated as well, because you had the chance, you had the opportunity. You were up by a dozen in the first half. You had the chance. You were still up at the half. You usually hold your leads in the second half. The Lakers are usually have an extremely good record when leading at the half, but unfortunately today was not that day.
Not at all. And Gerald, since it's still fresh in our minds, if you had to make two big, big changes in order to try and secure a win.
Oh, you mean another on Monday? Two tricks up my sleeve, just like Darvin Ham?
Yes. What are the two biggest adjustments you want to see on Monday, Gerald?
I just play AD on straight up and see, make sure he just does not get in foul trouble. And I would go back to whatever LeBron AD rotation minutes are there. You cannot play LeBron for the full first and third quarters. That was absolutely stupid. He was so gassed and he looked so tired. You cannot have him play 12 straight minutes. Those rotations have to change. Those will probably be the first two things I would go ahead and I would just get Rui involved a little bit more as well. I would make sure that the ball moves around, cut down your turnovers, and for God's sakes, get the defensive rebound. Is it that hard to do? Put a body on Jokic. Put two if you need. You did so well in that first half. You trapped. You schemed. You actually looked like you had been prepared to go ahead and play against Denver. And it befuddled Denver. It had them looking confused at times. Yet you found a way to go ahead and get away from it. Don't get away from what works. Just don't get away from what works for you, and you might have a chance to stick it out for four quarters.
100%. You got to stick with what works, right? That's been an idiom almost as old as time itself when it comes to competition. Gerald's right. You need to find a way to get Rui more involved off the ball within the flow of the offense, because he has shown, whether it's against Denver, whether it's against Memphis, he is very, very capable of being an option.
LeBron did so well early in the first quarter. He got both guys that were guarding him, Watson and Gordon, in foul trouble in that first quarter, and they got away from that as well. I don't understand Ham sometimes, because he gets away or doesn't stress this team. I should say it's not just Ham, but this team gets away from what works, and I would just keep on pounding it and pounding it and pounding it to AD and LeBron like they were doing that first quarter until you found a way to stop me. And they just get away from it themselves. The best defense sometimes against the Lakers is the Lakers themselves.
Yeah, 100%, Gerald. I mean, it's rare, but at times you hear in post-game commentary from players who are very upfront and honest and will say, yeah, we just ran the same play over and over again until they figured out how to stop us. And because they weren't stopping us, we just continuously ran the same offense. Well, I mean, you know, maybe you should go back to the well and decide that we got to stick with what works, because it's a best of six now. And it's not as if there's also a cookbook recipe on how to defeat Denver four times in a seven-game series. Every win is going to look different against Denver. Tonight was going to look different. Denver did not play well. The Lakers were playing very well in the first half, and then it went to crap in the second half, even though Denver still wasn't playing their absolute best. You're going to get a much better effort from the Denver Nuggets in game two. No question about it.
And so, you have to match it. Well, we'll see if they do. But once again, the Lakers lose 114 to 103. Magic Man, thank you for stopping by. It's the old adage that Joe used to get so mad about, that, well, everybody's gone when the Lakers lose, but damn, we sure have a lot of people when the Lakers win. So if the Lakers win on Monday, be interested to see who shows up then.
Yes, we don't expect the chat room to be a ghost town, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Gerald, show Kurt stats on offensive organized rates. Well, I think that's a part of it, but they did tie in the fourth quarter. That third quarter was really the key for the Lakers on how they lost. But the organized offense rates today, and of course something that Allen has been really trying to demonstrate in the chat. And I can't say I disagree with him. It's very sound reasoning, because the Lakers went ISO ball. You know, they love to go ISO ball. They just absolutely cannot stay away from it. Ball and man movement. But you see the organized rates there. Thank you, Kurt, for the stats there. It is 67% in the first quarter, 55% in the second, 45% in the third when things started to go awry, and 39% in the fourth. So as the game went on, it tailed off. And that doesn't surprise me in the least how ineffective in the second half the Lakers were in organizing their offense.
Absolutely. And to be perfectly fair, Jokic and Davis pretty much went toe-to-toe tonight, and each had 32 points. I believe the Joker shot a little better from the field, but not much. But again, as Gerald has pointed out, if you played them straight up against one another, I don't think the Joker has 32 points. So your offense needs to be a little bit more prepped for that second half. Even if it's a little tweak here and there, which adjustments have to be made on the fly, of course, we understand that. But don't, like Gerald said, don't completely drift away from what was working. You were in your lane. You were going at a good speed. You had created space between you and Denver, but you got away from it. You drifted into another lane, and then you ended up on the shoulder, and Denver eventually put you in a ditch.
It's just funny because when you look at it, Sean, you look at the stats, Davis and Jokic played to a stalemate. We always talk about how Jokic hides against every European center. Well, he played well today. I mean, how can you argue with 45 minutes, 32 points, 14 rebounds, 4 block shots, and 5 assists?
That's an getting excellent performance, yes.
And he matched Jokic on the output. 32, 12, and 7 for Jokic. When it comes right down to it, what did the other guys do? LeBron James, 10 of 16, 27 points. Most of that was in the first half. There is a 7 turnovers, but he did match what his counterpart was doing. Let's say Michael Porter Jr. Jamal Murray, 22 points, but it took him 24 shots to do so. So I will say he only played marginally better than Austin Reeves, because Austin Reeves made him work really hard for those 24 shots. It's D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura that got played, I don't say off the floor, but they just did not execute when they need to. Caldwell Pope in that third quarter, giving them what they needed as far as those 4 3-pointers, and Aaron Gordon, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Rui has got to give you something offensively a lot better than what they did. Yeah, Deanne, those five have to meet the starting five of Denver, mano a mano, and maybe in the case of D'Angelo, give you something a little bit more.
Absolutely, Gerald. You know, if Denver can have, you know, Jokic, Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, all five guys in double figures, the Lakers have to match that. And if you can't match it with the starters, then three or four of the starters need to be in double figures along with Torian Prince as somebody else off the bench. Somebody, anybody, for gosh sakes. Anybody else, because they can rely on anywhere from 4 to 7 guys a night to get them double figure points. And the Lakers need a lot more out of Rui. They need something out of D'Angelo Russell. And for goodness sake, Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent, if you can just one of you show up for a half each, I think that could make the difference between winning and losing, especially against a defending champion. And again, I think it's an overestimation right now for people to say, well, Denver is the Lakers' kryptonite. Not really. Not really. They're not doing anything special.
Well, if you're a Denver fan, how can you argue with them right now? Because they've beaten the Lakers 10 times in a row.
They're not doing anything special. They're playing the same offense they play. It's not exotic. It's not inverted. They're just executing what they do. They're very, very good at what they do. And you need to match them. I mean, last season, was anybody saying that the Suns were the Nuggets kryptonite after game 4? Yeah, a lot of people were. Oh yeah, the Suns, they figured out something. And what happened? The next 2 games we saw what happened. Denver just rolled over them. It's a matter of execution. It's can you execute what you want to when you need to? And Denver can. The Lakers need to be able to have the confidence and the conditioning at the end of a game to be able to match that. It's not out of the realm of possibility. They were in all 4 games last year. They, other than 1 game this year that was a complete blowout, they've been in every game with the Nuggets. You actually won a first quarter, Gerald. I think it's been...
And you were leading at the half.
And you were leading at the half. Even after squandering, you know, an 11-point lead in the first half, you still had a lead. So it's right there. It's just you're not finishing. It's about finishing. Gerald talks about it. Finishing. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
And we're going to have to see if the Lakers can finish on game two coming up on Monday. But before then, tomorrow night, and then, of course, Monday, we'll bring you all the action and all the talk and analysis that you can handle on Lakers to see if they can actually gut out a win. You know, Laker Tom on 420, after he takes his nice puff of magic dust or whatever he's smoking right now, and him and maybe Jamie as well somewhere, God bless him. Maybe they can go ahead and write something up on Lakerholics.com that will get the Lakers a better chance to go ahead and get the job done. But we will bring you our analysis here at the Lakers Fast Break tomorrow. Of course, whether Joe's here, I'm going to try and reach out to see if he can make it then. Sean may be here as well. It's up to him. You know, he's the Canadian madman, so you never know when he's going to be here for the Lakers Fast Break. That's always up to him. But again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Gerald Glassford along with the Magic Man, Sean Grice. Magic Man, any last thoughts before we head on out?
Oh, boy. Frustrating overall, Gerald, because it was right there for you. And like the soap in the shower, it slipped out of your hands. Got to find a way to finish.
How many times do you get Murray to go 9 for 24?
Not. That's like Haley's Comet. It's going to happen once every 87 games or so. But I agree with the Podfather. Next game, it's a new game. The ball tips off. Yep, they're up 1-0, but it's a brand new game. You got to find what works, anything, and stick to it. Hopefully there's a balance of flow, and you can't burn yourself out and then expect to be at the finish line in a marathon. It just doesn't work that way. ISO ball, no. Sharing the ball, good idea. Yeah, bad idea, ISO ball. Good idea, sharing the ball.
And also Alan's idea as well, because he was also saying you can't drop the soap, because we know about dropping the soap.
Yeah, you can't drop the soap.
Can't drop the soap. But what's good is the Lakers losing game one of the NBA's playoffs first round. It is 114 to 103. Lakers are down 1-0, but we'll be back tomorrow for more analysis on a Lakers snack pack for you. Then, of course, Monday, we bring back all the action. And then Thursday, they'll have some days off, so maybe the Lakers can get some rest. If the Lakers can go back to L.A. split, I think we'll feel a lot better about ourselves then, but we'll see. But Lakers better not drop the soap on Monday. The Lakers hopefully will continue to execute a little bit better. A lot of things that we need to discuss, we'll discuss it on Sunday, and you know we'll be discussing it on Monday as well. But thanks again, Sean, for stopping by. Thanks again for everybody being out there. Please follow us on Facebook, follow us on social media, and of course like and subscribe to us here on YouTube. Always you can follow us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.